when we came back from that encounter, we had many other coworkers that wanted to do the same thing. They saw it and they said, when can we do it? And so since that time, we've done, I think, 6 encounters here with others. And, you know, looking at Jesus as a servant leader and his leadership is amazing. And if you can flip the pyramid, which we continue to work on getting better at, it changes your whole perspective on everything.
Welcome to the Lead Like Jesus podcast. This is Karen Conley, and I am in studio today with my husband, Chris Conley, who is a trustee for Lead Like Jesus. And we are thrilled to have a conversation today with a friend and an involved member of our Lead Like Jesus family. Doug Erickson, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be on with you guys.
Doug, we look forward to learning not only about your leadership, but also whenever we talk to a leader, it's always so interesting to kind of find out how God made you to be the leader you are. You know, what's the backstory? So before we get started, if you would give people a little bit of context to what your business is, and then from there, we'll jump in and begin to learn a little bit of the story behind the story.
Okay, we have 2 car dealerships. We're adding a 3rd dealership, 2 car dealerships here in Hastings, Minnesota, a Ford and a Chrysler Jeep, Dodge and Ram dealership. And then we also have a rapid oil change car wash facility. And we're just in the midst of adding another dealership from another town to our group.
How long have you been in this business?
I actually moved to Hastings. It'll be 28 years in June. Prior to that, I worked in the retail side at a car dealership in the greater Minneapolis area, and then I started my career actually with Ford Motor Company. My whole career, and that's since 1981, I guess.
Give us a little bit of context as we talk leadership over these 2 podcasts. How many employees would you have involved in these different businesses?
I would say right now we have around 100 full-time and probably 15 or 20 part-time employees.
So there's no doubt that there's a lot of leadership involved in running those types of organizations. But one of the things that we often learn is that leadership really begins with self-leadership. It begins with our own personal lives. Since the name of this podcast is Lead Like Jesus, give us a little bit of your story of your faith journey. How did you come to faith in Christ? What was your life like before Christ? And how'd you come to Christ?
One of my favorite verses these days is Proverbs 20:24, and that verse says, "For we know that God directs your steps, how then can anyone understand his own way?" And so I would say, using that verse as a backdrop, I'll go back to probably coming here to Hastings is kind of where we'll start. In the 1989, it was my desire when I left Ford Motor Company to be a Ford dealer. We were able to get that dream fulfilled in 1989. And coming down here, we invested all our life savings into a dealership that was struggling. And God was good, even though I was coming on my own behalf, not that I prayed about it and God told me, but it was, I just wanted to be that. We had reasonable success. We were able to stabilize the dealership and actually complete the purchase in a couple of years. And things were going along well. And then early, mid-90s, probably 94-ish, my wife told me that if we didn't get help, she was going to leave me. So our marriage was struggling, and we got help by God's grace. And along the way, she found her way to Bible study fellowship. And at that point, I would say we were churchgoers, not followers of Christ. And when she started in that Bible study, and she'd actually made a proclamation that she was turned from God when her parents got divorced in middle school. And so she had turned away. And while we were going to church, she then found her way to Bible study fellowship. And as she did that, I thought, well, it might be good for me to find out what that book says. I say I'm a Christian and I believe everything in the book. I just didn't really know what the Bible said. So we started doing Bible studies together, and we started with Daniel. Along the way, we accepted Christ, and it's really interesting because we kind of chuckle. We say we've been equally yoked from the beginning. From the beginning, we were going our own way and wanting what we want. And then in that time where our marriage was on the rocks and we found our way to Christ, and now we are equally yoked
Doug, one of the things, Chris and I had the privilege of meeting you and your wife recently in Arizona for a Lead Like Jesus event. Yeah. What I loved is immediately you began to share little bits of your story and just that honesty and transparency that I know as our listeners are listening to this, one of the dangers of success is that our priorities get out of whack and we end up in this place where the things that are most important to us are put in jeopardy. And so I love the fact that you're jumping right in and being that honest, because I know there are hundreds and hundreds of leaders out there listening to you, men or women, that really can learn from this story. So you guys get involved in Bible study fellowship and you began really seeking out what faith looked like. How did it move from there?
I worked on becoming a better husband, better father, better leader in our house, and that was all well, but what happened along the way was this chasm between that and coming to work. These dealerships were secular businesses. While my home life was doing well, the operation, the dealership, while it was profitable, it was just not fulfilling. I was distraught. I got to the place where I just didn't even like coming in here anymore. At that time, I almost sold the businesses. I had a prospective buyer in line, and he was coming to work out the details, and then he had to reschedule. And that very day, I had a very restless night. I prayed, and I feel like I wrestled with God, and I woke up in the morning, and I just said, I give up. They're yours, and I'll come to work for you. And so that was probably in the late 90s when that happened, where I just said, okay, they're not for sale. Someone along the way said, do you ever think that your mission field is right under your nose, what you're doing? I had thought about going on a mission to Africa or somewhere, because I thought that's what you needed to do when you're following Christ. And what I've learned is that these businesses are God's and they're a mission field right here, because of most of the people that come to work here, this is as close as they get to going to church.
Doug, you made a statement. I got to a place where I just gave up, or I decided to give up. That's a big, big statement. There's more emotion to that statement. There's more kind of backstory to that statement. When you and Angela worked through the different struggles, and through those struggles, you saw your need for Christ and you came to Christ, then there was this second process here where you were discovering what's really important, what's not important, and you make this statement, I decided that I've had enough. There's this surrender involved, and I'm willing to just kind of give up. Elaborate on that. What does that really mean?
What I came to is that understanding following Christ meant a total surrender. And what was happening to me at that time, I was working in my home. It just wasn't coming to work with me, even though I wanted to. I felt like the world wouldn't allow me to witness who Jesus was at work, because I felt like it was not acceptable, or maybe even against the law or something. And then as through prayer, I was like, who do I want to please? Do I want to please the world, or do I want to please Jesus? So what I understood was, because prior, the stores had made, I grew up on a small farm. I had made more money than I could ever have hoped for or dreamed for at that point, but there was never enough. I never found any pleasure or joy, or if you had a record month, then you're just waiting for the next record month. And then I looked at coworkers and customers as a means to some kind of end rather than something that God designed. And they were valuable if they were doing their jobs well, but if they were having trouble, then they weren't valuable anymore. And that's what came to me. And so when I feel like I surrendered, we said we can bring Jesus here and we can bring that love to the people that work at these dealerships. It started small, but I can tell you the day and what happened and what has happened since. And 20 plus years later, I love coming to work because I know that it's another day that God gives me to witness his love to those I work with.
Doug, I'm thinking about business owners that are listening to this, that love the Lord, that want to make a difference. And what you describe, you know, maybe I'm going to go to Africa or go on a mission trip. That must be the thing that you're supposed to do as a believer, is very common. We, in our context, are in the ministry, and you hear that all the time. Like, oh, I want my life to matter. I guess I need to sell everything and go overseas. I love hearing you realize that, no, that mission field was right there. Before we go too far in the story, for that person that maybe is facing that dilemma right now and that decision of how do I make my leadership role in whatever corporation or business that I'm in have a kingdom impact, what does that look like in those first days and weeks or month? What was that first step when you and Angela said, okay, this is God's and we're going to bring our faith to work in the morning? What were some of those first things and what did that look like?
The first thing, I had a fellow coworker here that was a believer as well. And the first thing that we did, we talked about it, but the very first thing I did that was scary was at an employee appreciation lunch, we prayed for the first time. And, you know, when you haven't ever done it, it's this uneasy feeling and you don't know what's going to come. And it was really an interesting thing. But the first thing we did was welcomed prayer into the dealership. We opened the door and welcomed Jesus in. And I likened it to everyone that's probably went to a wedding, and when you go to a dinner there, there's always someone officiating that probably gets up and prays. And I said, we can pray like that as well. And so that's how we started. And then just trust the Spirit to guide your steps. And God has been just so faithful to us in taking risks for Him. He continues to grow us and step out in different ways.
What I love about your first step is the first step began with prayer. Oftentimes in our Christian witness, we'll jump ahead too quickly. We'll have the best of intentions, but we'll start telling everybody everything before we even pray. Sometimes, you know, what we need to do is just pray and let the Holy Spirit begin to tell them without us ever having to say anything. And then when we just love them well, and then we model those truths, they become interested in what we have to say. And obviously in the workplace, you know, there's a certain appropriate tension and kind of a tightrope that you have to walk. And I'm hearing that from you, but it's just so fantastic to see kind of the journey that God has taken you on because you and your family, you and Angela have modeled this. And you began to take that approach of self-leadership, and then how can the leadership of servant leadership, leading like Jesus, how can we introduce that to our people in a sensitive way, in a loving way, and gain their trust over time? So you began the process of just opening with prayer and kind of inviting God into really to bless your people. What were some of the next steps that you took in this process of beginning to be the servant leader that Jesus has called you to be?
A few of the things that happened along the way were others who were either dabbling in faith, had faith. I think the fear that I had was that everyone was going to be against it, and that wasn't the way it was. There was a good number that were either churchgoers or even further along in their faith walk where they would join us in prayer. And so we did things like we got connected in the community with a group, a number of churches in our community. It was called Bless Hastings, but we had, I think, five or six churches on the first Tuesday of every month. The pastors and some of their members would come actually to the dealership, and we would have an hour and a half of just praying for our community. And then we did a lot of community outreach things. One of the things we did a few years ago, and this is probably a few years in, but we really wanted to talk about, if Jesus said to love our neighbors, well, what does that look like? And we went to our community right beside our dealership, and we did a cookout just for our community. And we called it the Love Your Neighbor Cookout and Concert. Along the way, we sold a vehicle to a guy who was in a Christian band, and they came in and gave us a concert at the same time. So we just kind of went out as a group, and just we didn't ask anything of them. We just invited them to a park and cooked out for them.
What makes me smile about listening to how this is unfolding is that frequently we overcomplicate things. You just began to pray, you began to serve, you began to bless people, encourage people. And what we really see in Scripture is that when we walk by the Spirit and we bear the fruits of the Spirit, you know, of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control, the Scripture says against these things, there's no law. So people in your workplace and people in the community, they're never like, oh, would you quit being so kind to me? I just can't stand all the kindness, right? That's that beautiful picture of servant leadership. And so as this is unfolding and going in the process, where in the process did you get introduced to lead like Jesus?
That's a great story as well. So again, that Proverbs 20:24, that God's directing steps. 2006, 2007, you'll remember that the car business was really in challenging times. In fact, Ford and Chrysler were both looking at bankruptcy. Chrysler actually went through bankruptcy. Ford made it through. But along the way, I ran across a fellow Ford dealer gave me a book called Ford and the American Dream, and it was written by a employee that worked at Ford by the name of Clifton Lambreth. I reached out to him because it looked like it had a Christian feel to the book. We became friends, and I bought a bunch of the books and sent them to the CEO and the chairman of the board, Bill Ford, and all of those guys. I called Clifton, and we became friends over the time, and we would talk from time to time over the years. Then as time went on, now we'll fast forward to 2010. January 1st, 2010, I made a appointment with God, if you will, to do my first, I call it a hermitage, just to go out in the woods and just be alone with God, pray and take my Bible and make some notes. That was actually January 2nd, I think it was. But at that point, I wrote down 11 names of guys that worked here that I felt like God wanted me to disciple, for me to grow in my faith and to grow them as well. And the very first day back at work, I think it was January 3rd, 2010, Clifton calls me out of the blue just to wish me a happy new year. I hadn't talked to him in months. It's been a long time since that I remember talking to him. I shared with him what I had just experienced in the woods, and he said to me, "You have to do Lead Like Jesus." And he kind of explained to me what Lead Like Jesus is all about. He then connected me with Phyllis Henry and Karen at Lead Like Jesus, and they connected me with Rich and Barb Meese. And on April of 2010, we did our first encounter. And it was a great experience. We did that with a group of the churches in town as well. We had the 11 guys that I talked about. Most of them, their wives were with us, and a few pastors in town.
Doug, I have to interject here because you said on January 2nd of 2010 that you were out in the woods. And in case we didn't mention, you live in Minnesota. So if you were really out in the woods in Minnesota, you just went way up on the hero scale in my eyes. That does not even sound good.
Let me tell you, go back and check that. It was 28 below zero that morning.
Oh, no.
So I spent most of my time inside, believe me. It was so miserably cold, I didn't think my car would start, and it did. But it was the coldest day of the year. It was like very memorable time for sure.
Absolutely.
And before we talk about the leadership encounter, I just want to remind our listeners that we also did a podcast with Clifton. If you go back in the Lead Like Jesus app, it was February 4th, 2016. So you can go back and hear his story and how God worked in his life. It's so encouraging to hear how he's played a role in your life and really introduced you to Lead Like Jesus.
A small world and a cold day for sure. Well, Doug, what was it as you brought this encounter to Hastings and had that experience? What was it about the Lead Like Jesus model that intrigued you and you wanted to bring it to your employees?
We had these guys that I had wanted to disciple, and that was our initial stepping off point to go further. And most of us, our wives were there as well. So it was going through the head, heart, hands, habits, and the encounter was really impactful for all of us. I was really actually taken aback and surprised by how it affected the pastors that went through it as well. Very emotionally charged, going deeper into this servant leadership model. Needless to say, it was transformational for many. When we came back from that encounter, we had many other coworkers that wanted to do the same thing. They saw it and they said, "When can we do it?" And so since that time, we've done, I think, 6 encounters here with others. And you know, looking at Jesus as a servant leader and his leadership is amazing. And if you can flip the pyramid, which we continue to work on getting better at, it changes your whole perspective on everything.
Absolutely. And that servant leadership model is a paradigm shifter. Instead of leadership being about us and what we can gain from the leadership and what we can potentially have as rewards as a result of leadership, our greatest reward really becomes through serving others and being able to make them better, being able to bless them. As we kind of wrap up this first podcast, before we go into the second to learn even more about how this leadership encounter and how your leadership has really been such a positive impact upon your business and your community, One of the things that I heard you say is that we started with this initial group and that there was these 11 men and their wives as well. And then you've had six additional encounters. So is this something that you just invited them to and it was a volunteer situation since this is part of this encounter and it has this a little bit of this religious context? Is that how that happened?
Yeah. First of all, we make it voluntary for sure. Most of the time it has been people asking about seeing what has happened in the hearing that the people that have been through it. Now, I will say that I have encouraged all of the leadership within the dealerships to go, not forced anyone, but encouraged them. And all but one have been through an encounter, everyone that's in a leadership role here. But it's purely voluntary. It's just one of those things. If you want to go, we'd love to have you. And it doesn't matter what position you play because we're all leaders in some way or another.
I think that's such an important point to make because obviously you in the very beginning talked about how to do this in a work context and how to be sensitive. Really what we're seeing is people saw the results and it was something they wanted. That is the absolute best way for this to happen. And when we do embody that servant leadership, then it's attractive. It becomes irresistible. And that's where I want to encourage other business leaders. It's just an invitation. And if people take you up on the invitation, we're grateful for it. And for those that don't, you just keep loving them. And then eventually when they see the results in others, they'll rethink that invitation.
Amen. I agree with that.
Doug, thank you so much for joining us for this first podcast. We look forward to having you back for a second podcast where we'll kind of dive in even deeper about, okay, what are the results been and what does it look like for this model of leadership to be successful within your business? Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to our listeners. We'd love it if you'd leave a review on iTunes or post on social media. And for more information, go to leadlikejesus.com.